So the new man speaks to the gods, speaks to Brahma Sahampati. And finally, the new man speaks to men. The Buddha, the new man, has decided to teach. But now a question arises. Teach who? Here's the Buddha, here's the new man, still under his Bodhi tree, ready to teach, ready to make known the truth that he had discovered. But teach who? Who would be first? Who would learn the doctrine quickly? At first, the Buddha bethought him of his old teacher, someone under whom he'd studied many years before, who was a very good man, a very noble man, but who had not been able to lead him to the highest truth because he had not himself realized it. He thought, that is to say, of Alara Kalama, his first teacher after he left home. But we're told a god appeared, a sort of angel-like figure, and told the Buddha that Alara Kalama had been dead a week. So it was no use thinking of teaching him. So the Buddha then bethought him of his second teacher, under whom also he'd learned many useful things, but who also had not been able to take him the whole way. He thought of Uddaka Ramaputta. But he then became aware that Uddaka Ramaputta had died only the evening before. So finally, he bethought him of the five ascetics. These were five disciples, or more like companions maybe, that he'd had in the old days when in the jungle he practiced self-mortification, self-torture. And these five had stuck with him very faithfully. They'd served him, looked after him, when he was practicing these terrible austerities, in the hope that when he gained enlightenment by that means, they'd be able to benefit from his realization. But as we know, after a while the Buddha realized, or the Buddha to be realized, that self-mortification was not the way. So he gave up the practice of self-mortification and he started taking solid food and started looking after his physical body a little bit. And the five ascetics, those five companions, they became disgusted. And they said, Gautama has gone back to the lower worldly life. He's pampering himself. He's actually taking solid food. So they left him in disgust. They went away. So he now bethought him of those five. They've been very faithful for a long time. They've served him and helped him. So he thought, let me teach the Dharma, teach the truth, first of all, to these five. And he came to know that they were then living at Benares, or rather near Benares, a few miles out of Benares, in the deer park of Isipatana. Isipatana means the place of arrival of the rishis, the sages. And the commentary tells us that the sages used to live in the Himalayas in ancient times before the Buddha. But every now and then they'd come to Benares, which is a great religious centre, and they'd come flying through the air by means of their supernormal path. And they'd land at this particular spot. It was their sort of Heathrow, you may say. So it was called Isipatana, the place of landing, the landing place of the rishis, the sages. And then, you see, they'd walk quietly into Benares as though nothing had happened, as though they'd come walking all the way. But they'd land, as it were, there. So the place was called Isipatana. And there was a beautiful deer park where deer were not allowed to be killed. So the Buddha saw that the five ascetics were staying at Isipatana in this deer park. So the Buddha thereupon left the place that we now call Buddha Gaya, but which was then known as Uruvela. He left for Benares. It's a journey of about 100 miles, and I've actually walked the distance myself. It takes just about a week. So apparently, so far as we know from the scriptural accounts, this happened the Buddha's departure from Urvela, or Buddhagaya, happened about 7 weeks after the enlightenment. Now, on the way, not very long after leaving Urvela, the Buddha met, on the high road, an ascetic who belonged to a sect known as the Arjivakas, and his name was Upaka. And Upaka, when he saw the Buddha coming in the distance, was very impressed by his appearance, because after all, he'd just gained enlightenment just a few weeks before, so he was bright and shining and cheerful and happy. So Upaka was very impressed, and they both stopped, they greeted each other, and as the custom still is in India, Upaka asked the Buddha two questions. He asked, first of all, who is your teacher? And secondly, which doctrine do you profess? So Upaka got, it seems, much more than he bargained for. Because the Buddha replied in four resounding Pali verses. They sound really grand in Pali, but I'm afraid we'll have to have them in a rather weak English translation. The first of these four resounding verses appears also in the Dhammapada. And the new man speaks. This is his first utterance, by the way, to humanity, to another human being. The new man says, "Victorious over all, omniscient am I, in all things of the world free from defilement, leaving all with craving gone, emancipated, and knowledge all self-gained, whom should I follow? Instructor, teacher, have I none. One like me is nowhere found. In the world with its gods and men, no one is there to rival me. I am an arahat in the world. I am a teacher most supreme. Alone am I the all-enlightened. I have one coolness, one nirvana, to set going the wheel of doctrine. To Kashi city now I go, and in the blinded world the drum of the immortal will I beat." So we notice here, when we've recovered from the shock, the Buddha's complete self-confidence. And it was a self-confidence that lasted all his life. There's no false humility. The Buddha doesn't say, "Well, it seems to me I've gained enlightenment, you know." It doesn't say anything like that. There's no false pride either. He makes a simple statement of fact. Because he knows exactly what has happened. He knows exactly who he is. And he knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows that he's gained enlightenment. He knows that he's free. He knows that he's a new man, that there is, as yet, no one else like him anywhere in the world. And he knows that he's going to teach, going to help make other new men. Now, what does Upaka say in reply to all this? He says, in effect, to the Buddha, that it seems you are claiming to be a jinnah. A jinnah is a technical term, more or less the same as Buddha. It means victor, conqueror. You're claiming to be enlightened. You're claiming to be a new man. So the Buddha confirms this in another resounding verse. And he says, "Victors like me are they indeed, who have destroyed the asavas, the defilements. Conquered by me are evil things. Hence am I a victor, Upaka." So having heard that, now what does Upaka say? Upaka apparently thinks a moment, then he says, "Maybe." And he shakes his head and he goes off, we're told, by a bypath. And it always seems to me that this incident is very significant, not to say symbolical. It seems that we ourselves are a bit like Upaka. We are confronted, as it were, by the figure of the Buddha, or confronted by the Dharma, the teaching. So we take a look at the Buddha, listen to the Dharma for a while, and just like Upaka, we say, maybe. Maybe it is so. Or maybe there's something in it. And then we shake our heads and we go off on some little bypath of our own. And in this way, we miss a great opportunity. Perhaps we miss it forever. Well, Upaka certainly missed his opportunity. There's no record that he ever met the Buddha again. He just went off on his bypath and he disappears, not only from the scripture, he disappears from history. And the Buddha proceeds to Benares, to the deer park of Isipatana.